Happy Sabbath, one and all, and welcome to our home church gathering today on this wonderful and beautiful Sabbath. Welcome to those that are listening on the phone and to those that are listening to the recording, as well as those that have tuned in to WLMR Radio, and welcome to you all. Our opening song for today's service is entitled, Use Me, Lord. And here are the lyrics.
Sabbath blessing to everyone. God bless you all. Use me, Lord, to do thy will. Use me, Lord, to do thy will. As your instrument, I pray, use me each and every day as your shining light in this world of darkness. Spread your love and truth through me. Use me, Lord, to do thy will. Use me, Lord, to do thy will. As your instrument, I pray, use me each and every day as your shining light in this world of darkness. Spread your love in truth through me. There are others who are waiting for truth that will set them free. I knew that I am just an ordinary person, but here I am, Lord. You can send me. Oh, use me, Lord, to do thy will. Use me, Lord, to do thy will. As your instrument, I pray, use me each and every day as your shining light in this world of darkness. Spread your love in truth through me. Oh, use me, Lord, to do thy will. Use me, Lord, to do thy will. As your instrument, I pray, use me each and every day as your shining light, and this world of darkness, spread your love in truth through me. Spread your love in truth through me.
Amen, and praise the Lord. Thank you, sister. Indeed, Father, use each one of us to spread your love and truth to others. I invite you to please kneel and bow your heads for opening prayer to our main church service today. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, for your great divine love, and for pouring all heaven out to us through Jesus to show your love for us. Father, I pray that your love will dwell in our hearts, that it will indeed bubble over from us to others, and thus we can indeed be part of spreading your love and the truth as it is in Jesus to others. We can truly become your co-workers, united with divinity, united with our God in seeking to save the lost. And thank you for this great privilege. I pray, Father, that you'll be with each one of us now, that you will open our understanding to comprehend more wondrous things out of thy word of inspiration, more wondrous insights into the truth as to why we are created by you in the exact functioning system that you've created. Help us to understand more clearly how we are formed to be your sanctuary that you want to dwell in. And thank you so much for doing so. I pray that you will be with Sister Rose as she opens before us what you have revealed to her. Please help us to have attentive minds, quick understanding and comprehension, and let there be no distractions to keep us from fully understanding what you want us to see and realize today. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for gracing our home church with your divine presence. Thank you for your many and wonderful blessings, especially in allowing us to be your sons and daughters, with you as our Father and with our Savior as our elder brother. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
A Sabbath blessing to all the dear families in the room and for those that are listening on the phone and the dear soul that will be listening to this recording on a later date. We will begin our study, and also this is the last study of the review to end the series of the Sanctuary of the Body. So let us go in right into it. The sanctuary of our body, the third temple. This study will end our series with review part two. Our bodies are a temple in which God desires to dwell. In the creation of man was manifested agency of a personal God. When God had made man in his image, the human form was perfect in all its arrangements, but it was without life. Then a personal self-existing God breathed into that form the breath of life, and man became a living, intelligent being. All parts of the human organism was set in action. The heart, the arteries, the veins, the tongue, the hands, the feet, the senses, the faculties of the mind, and all began their work, and all were placed under law. Man became a living soul. Through Christ, the Word, the personal God created man and endowed him with intelligence and power. Our substance was not hid from him when we were made in secret. His eyes saw our substance, yet being imperfect, and in his book all our members were written, when as yet there were none of them. This quote was taken from Ministry of Healing, pages 415. And this is paragraph 1 through 2. And the other paragraph is taken from Education, page 200. This is the third paragraph. And for references in the Word of God, you can read 1 Corinthians 6:19 and Acts 7:48-49. And it reads, by a most beautiful and impressive figure, God's word shows the regard he placed upon our physical organism and the responsibility rested on us to preserve it in the best condition. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye are from God, and ye are not your own? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let pupils be impressed with the thought that the body is a temple in which God desires to dwell, that it must be kept pure, the abiding place of high and noble thoughts. As in the study of physiology, they see that they are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made. They will be inspired with reverence. Instead of marrying God's handiwork, they will have an ambition to make all that is possible of themselves in order to fulfill the Creator's glorious plan. Thus they will come to regard obedience to the laws of health and not as the matter of sacrifice or self-denial, but as it really is, an inestimable privilege and blessing. That was taken from Education, page 201, first paragraph. And for reference, Psalms 139:14. Continuing. In the cleansing of the temple, Jesus was announcing his mission as the Messiah and entering upon his work. That temple erected for the above of the divine presence was designed to be an object lesson for Israel and for the world. From eternal ages, it was God's purpose that every created being, from the bright and holy seraphim to man, should be a temple for the indwelling of the Creator. Because of sin, humanity ceased to be a temple for God. Darkened and defiled by evil, the heart of man no longer revealed the glory of the Divine One. But by the incarnation of the Son of God, the purpose of heaven is fulfilled. God dwells in humanity, and through saving graces, the heart of man becomes again his temple. God designed that the temple of Jerusalem should be a continual witness to the high destiny open to every soul. But the Jews had not understood the significance of the building they regarded with so much pride. They did not yield themselves as a holy temple for the divine spirit. The courts of the temple at Jerusalem, filled with the turmoil of unholy traffic, represented all too truly the temple of the heart, defiled by the presence of sensual passion and unholy thoughts. In cleansing the temple from the world's buyers and sellers, Jesus announced his mission to cleanse the heart from the defilement of sin. from the earthly desires, the selfish lust, the evil habits that corrupt the soul. The Lord who ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, who ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appear? For he is like a refining fire and like a full of soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. That was taken from Desire Ages, page 161, first paragraph. And as a reference, Malachi 3, verses 1 to 3. Those paragraphs that I just read is to be able to allow many to understand why it's so important for us to be able to take heed of the message of the third temple. For what is the decision that we will make will also be affecting us of not allowing the Lord to prepare our bodies for his habitation. Continuing the reading, the fine twine linen, Christ's righteousness, our wedding garment. The work of Christ is illustrated by the parable of the marriage of the king's son. All the guests, both bad and good, are gathered at the marriage. But when the king comes in to examine the guests, all are ejected except those who are clothed with the wedding garment of Christ's righteousness. Many are called, but few are chosen. That was taken from The Cross and His Shadow, page 31, first paragraph. References for this paragraph, you will find Matthew 22, 1 through 14, and Revelation 3, 18. Continuing the reading. The tabernacle was surrounded by a court 100 cubits long and 50 cubits wide. This court was enclosed by curtains of fine twine linen hung from the pillars of brass. The pillars were trimmed with chapiters and fillers of silver, and the curtains were suspended from silver hooks. The court formed a oblong and was placed with its longest side towards the north, and the south and the ends towards the east and the west. The door or entrance of 20 cubits width was in the center of the east end of the court. The curtains forming the door of the court were of blue and purple and scarlet, in fine twine linen, wrought with needlework, and was suspended from four pillars of brass, trimmed with silver. That quote was taken from The Cross and Its Shadow, page 173, first paragraph. The references from the Holy Word is Exodus 27, 9 through 18, and Luke 9 through 9:14. At night, when the intense heat abated and darkness covered the desert, then above the holy tabernacle hung the cloud, now a great pillar of fire. In the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys, God's immediate invisible presence lightened up the entire encampment so that all could walk safely through the darkness. What an impressive type was thus given of the Christian walk. There may be no visible light, but when the light of God's presence surrounds him, his pathway is light. David knew this when he wrote, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." References from the Holy Word is Psalms 89:15 and Exodus 40:38. Continuing the reading. The weakest trusting child of God can have the blessed privilege of being guided by the light of God's countenance, safe from the pitfalls of Satan if he will surround his heart to God. If he will surrender his heart to God. Isaiah 52:1. And there's a quote from Cross and the Shadow, page 30, first paragraph. Within the golden walls of the tabernacle, priests of divine appointment perform a work representing in type and symbol the plan of redemption. In slide number 6, we can be able to see the actual picture of the human skeleton. The boards made pillars around the courtyard. Do you know that 60 bones, the appendicular skeleton is 60 bones. According to scripture, 60 pillars, they have 20 south, 20 north, 10 west, and 10 east. As you can see in the two pictures shown here, we have the upper limbs and the lower limbs and the actual quantities that make up the upper limbs. Here in the arms, we have 5 bones. In the hands, we have 10. On the lower limb, we have 5 on the leg, and we have 10 on the feet. And that will be the same on the right and the left side. On the top of our head, we have 10. We have 60 bones as a type of what the anti-type is shown. So the central core of long bone is a hollow cylinder lined with spongy bone, and this cavity is filled with a soft, fatty connective tissue called yellow bone marrow. In this particular area, we have come in previous series that this is the area of our holy place. And from the pelvis down, we have the actual area of the courtyard. References that supports the 60 bone appendicular skeleton is Revelation 1:15, 7.5 feet high is considered in the scripture the height that was placed in the Revelation 19:8 also. Here we have a little picture of the actual courtyard linen and the pillars around it. Taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, 1 through 7, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who has built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built it all thing is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. In Philippians 1:20, it reads, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Here in this particular picture, you see the skeleton. In the very middle where you see the red spot, it is called a magnum foramen. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world can be seen down the magnum foramen lifted up on the sternum on the vertebra. As we further in our study, you will see that as is shown. Let's discuss a little bit of the reference of what we have learned when it says that he was crucified from the foundation. In our brain, there's an area they call the circle of will. I will call it the circle of will, which the Lord had given us. Christ gave us a power of will to choose. And who do we surrender our minds to? Is whom we're going to obey. The cross planted between the earth and heaven. When Christ came to this world, he found that Satan had everything as he wanted it. The adversary of God and a man though that he was indeed the prince of the earth. But Jesus laid hold of the world to take it out of the power of Satan. He came to redeem it from the curse of sin and the penalty of transgression, that the transgressor may be forgiven. He planted the cross between earth and heaven and between divinity and humanity. And as the Father beheld the cross, he was satisfied. He said, "It is enough. The offering is complete. God and man may be reconciled. Those who have lived in the rebellion against God may become reconciled if, as they see the cross, they become repentant and accept the great propitiation that Christ had made for their sin. In the cross, they see that mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." That was taken from Bible Commentary, Volume 5, page 1137, paragraph 9. And also that quotation can be found in the Signs of the Times, September 30, 1889. In this particular side of the slide, you're going to see a very interesting figure. Here you see a figure of, let's put it so you can be able to see it here better, as a body actually laid right in the very midst. But what is interesting about this picture is the center of that figure laying seems to be with his hand open, outstretched, like he was crucified. It is the very heart of that particular image. Here in that image, on the very top, it forms an A, which in the scripture it tells us he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The heart of this particular figure is where the pituitary gland, the symbol of Christ's mediation before the mercy seat. So not only did he give his life from the foundation of the world, it even gave us a prophetic of what Christ was going to do to redeem it. And that is the center of the heart of that figure. It will happen after his crucifixion as he resurrected and ascended to heaven to continue finishing the work. Do you see so far, dear ones? This is the master gland, the pituitary gland that secretes the different hormones to be able to aid the body for sanctification. Here is a brighter look at this particular figure. In Revelation 1:8, it says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, say the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Also in Revelation 13:8, it says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose name are not." Let me just go back to that. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." So here in this particular slide, you can see. And you already know that in this particular section is where the pituitary gland is. So even in our anatomy, the scripture is fulfilled. The skeleton system. Here is a picture of the actual sternum. The sternum stands as Christ crucified in us. Christ says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." John 12:32. "And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole." That is in Numbers. You're going to see the reference in chapter 21, verses 8 through 9. This picture is the actual sternum. Here you see it in an angle. Here you see it in front. So the menumbrum, the body of the sternum, is what you are taking a look. In an X-ray, this is how it's seen in an X-ray. And in this particular slide here, you will see that there are seven holes, like womb,
that is actually in the body of this particular or bone. And we know that it's through his perfection that is how we are being redeemed, only through his merit alone. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Isn't that the truth, dear ones? And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is in Galatians 2:20. So here in this particular slide, you will be able to see the actual skeleton that shows a figure like a serpent. Here on the left side, let me just change the pointer. Here you will be able to see the actual serpent that is lifted up in man's body. You can't be able to see it for yourself. Notice that the head of the serpent is in the lower throne and the actual tail is in our upper throne. What is so amazing about this particular vertebra, there's actually 33 bones that forms it. And when you think about in the scripture, Jesus was 33 years old at his death. Here it shows that Christ not only fulfilled all that he had to, he restored everything from the law of God. Let me just get rid of some of the things. From the law of God, that is the foundation in the sacrum, and then it is called the great stones because those are the 10 of the greatest prophets. You got the lumbar bones are 5 and the sacrum is 5. That shows the 10 here in the lower. And then you have 12 of the thoracic. We will see that the 12 tribe of Israel, what is so interesting in this bone, they have like 2 bones that is actually connected. One that holds up and the other one locks into it. So you have spiritual Israel and you also have the original Israel. Here, these are called costly stone because the disciple being modest for the purpose of God's word. And then you have the cervical bones that I call the hue stone. That it is actually a symbol of the 7 pillars of our faith that will take us into that heavenly Canaan if we become truthful to carry forth the proclaiming of this message to the world. Here we see that number 7 is a symbol of perfection. And you see also that 10 is a symbol of his righteousness, the 10 commandments. And 12 is his humanity. And 4, it is a symbol of divinity. When you have all of them, 7, 12, 10, and 4, you will see they will actually add up to 33. So let's learn a little bit of the thoracic cage, which we will call the holy place. What is within the holy place? We already seen in the previous review from last week, that in this particular area, we have the heart, we have the lungs, and we also have in this area, in the top section, we have the larynx, which is talking about the furnitures that are inside of the holy place, the table of showbread, the candlestick, and also the altar of incense. But what we want to learn is the area of what the bones are here. In Matthew 5:17, it says, "Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophet. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill it." How do we see this truth in our own anatomy? The 10 ribs, or here the Lord said that he came. What Christ came to do, he came to exalt the law and to make it honorable. Here we have the picture. Let me just get this. We have the picture. We already know that what the sternum is a symbol of. It's a symbol of our Christ crucified within us. This is the sternum and his body. Here you even see in the shipboard process, there is a hole in this area. Amazingly, that the law was pierced on his feet. And also here, you see the 10 ribs. Here you have 1 and it's numbered all the way to 10. Here you have the 10 commandments lifted up by Christ, extended, crucified in us. But not only the 10 commandments, they even have 2 loose ribs that are called floater. That in these 2 hangs, that the actual 10 commandments, just as our anatomy shows. The 2 floating ribs represents the 2 greatest commandments that the law was talking about. And Colossians 2:9 says, "For in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." The actual sternum itself is divided into 3 sections. 2 Samuel 22:47 said, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation." So here you see the area of the 7 cervical vertebrae, but that we have noticed in the previous slide. Am I going too fast, dear ones? Praise the Lord. In this particular slide, we can see now a little bit about the actual ribs. The rib consists of heads, and it also have a neck, and it also have a body. Just like the scripture said that when Christ is lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. Here you see all the men that are actually drawn unto him. 12 on the right side and 12 on the left side, that is actually showing you the whole government of Christ. The 24 elders are in the area where they actually have the holy place. And the holy place is where not only the priests had helped to be able to continue the sanctuary message, here you have the 2 side by side, the 24 ribs. That represents the elders. So the ribs is a type of a man. In Hebrews 6:19 it says, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enter into that within the veil." So you know, for you to be able to see this, you have to be able to come into the veil, which is to the holy place. Here, the anchor is seen a figure of a shape that connects the actual rib that holds a symbol of a man. Can you see? The head is connected to the bottom area and the neck is connected to the anchor area. Okay? So the remarkable thing also is that this bone also has veins and artery and nerves, just like the human body. So let's discuss a little bit about the ribs. They are the framework of that part of the human trunk, termed the chest, in which the lungs and the heart are deposited for safekeeping. So what do they protect? They protect the precious heart and the lungs, and you know that the heart represents the table of showbread, and the lungs represents the candlestick. And that quotation was taken from John Norton Longborough, Handbook of Health, page 36. This is the 7th paragraph. But there is something that the ribs and this particular area is speaking about. So what the ribs teach about the gospel, that is the importance of this wonderful section of our body. There are 7 true ribs that was not named by me. It is actually in the anatomy. And there's also 3 false ribs. I remember we were talking about the floating ribs. What does it tell us? There are seven true ribs directly connected to the Christ or symbol of the sternum in the spirit and in truth. In spirit and truth is their foundation. The remnant and the disciple was sealed by seven pillars. So the pillars of our faith is what give us direct connection to Christ. And also the area of the scapula, which is those two bones that you see and right in the back of it. It is the actual two stones that was on top of the high priest garment. And notice that Christ became a high priest and only him was given judgment. In John 5:22, it tells you that all judgment has been given to Christ. Type and anti-type. Also, these three false ribs separated from Christ represents the three unclean spirit like frogs. So when you take the three false ribs and the two floating ribs, it gives you the five false ribs like the similar parable of the five foolish virgins representing the three false ribs and the two floating ribs. The ribs lacking the spirit of Christ's life in them. And why were they lacking it? Because they wasn't directly connected to the Lord. As we just have learned in our previous study in the that many churches, it doesn't matter who they are, what name, and who are their leaders. If Christ is not the center of it all, then they will be Christless. The length of one curtain should be 8 and 20 cubits. Let's discuss about the actual curtain. We already know that this will be discussing the integumentary system, which is the skin. And in this skin, we have fat, veins, sweat glands, arrestor, nerves, arteries, sebaceous, and dermis. These are what the skin has containing. And also, we have 8 various offerings. We have sin, and in sin, we know that in the Word of God, a symbol of sin is fat. The burn offering, we got the drink offering, the meat offering, the trespass offering, the red heifer, the peace offering, and the cleansing of the leper. If you have time, if you can be able to read the different meaning of what these offering in the type of, in the cross and the shadow, you will see that it will teach us very special, truth about Christ. When the sin offering was actually given, if you be able to read the desire ages, step to Christ, side by side, you're going to understand that in the sin offering, Christ is our peace. And that will be found in chapter 17. In the burnt offering, our wholeness, chapter 18. In the drink offering, you will see the pouring out of the soul, chapter 19. In the meat offering, the surrendering and the provision, in chapter 20. In the trespass offering, the restoration and the restitution in chapter 21. In the red heifer, you're going to see the cleansing blood, chapter 22. And in the peace offering, you're going to see Christ is our stay in chapter 23. And the cleansing of the leper, you're going to see Christ being our cleanser. That was chapter 24. If you read side by side with step to Christ, the fat let us understand what God love for man was by actually giving him a provision through his son to remove us from all unrighteousness. Chapter 1 in Step to Christ will give you a little bit of some very beautiful truth concerning what Christ symbolized. And just for the purpose of time, I'm just going to read. The vein is the sinner's need of Christ in chapter 2 of Step to Christ. Repentance about the sweat, you know, the sweat gland, all glands is like actual hormones of the body aiding us for the purpose of cleansing our system, for the purpose of actually rejuvenating. So you will see the different truths that you will have spiritually from what the physical type in our body is. So Christ's covering has delivered us from all sin. Here is a picture of the actual skin taken in one section to be able to let you see what happens on the skin. There is something in the skin called laminin, and the actual laminin looks exactly like this little picture. It looks like a crucifix. Isaiah 53:5 said, "But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed." So here you have a bigger picture of what the laminin looked like. What is so remarkable about this particular area in our skin is that it is actually combined by three separate, completely different chains. You got the A chain, you have the B chain, and you have the B1 chain and the B2 chain. And these three are the ones that are actually standing, forming this particular cross. But we have a truth in our Bible that tells us that the Godhead are three, but they are different. Not like the Trinity doctrine that we have heard, that is one manifesting itself in three, but these are Godhead, like the scripture tell us. Here, so in the particular scripture where it tells us in Revelation 21:13, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." In Revelation 22:13, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." So beta is the second number in the Greek alphabet. And alpha is the first. And gamma is the third. But the thing that is so amazing in this laminin figure, the third person of the Godhead called gamma, if you look under a microscope, this is what it looks like. It is the actual shape of a dove. In Matthew 3:16, it says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." Here you see in the skin is manufactured 15 laminin tremors. As you can see, the scripture actually tells us that truly Christ is our covering, not only spiritually, but also in our bodies, he is the covering. There are so many receptors in our body that give signal to our brain whenever we are burned, when we feel cold, when we feel hot. It actually tells us how to cool our bodies whenever we are overheated. Truly, Christ is our covering. So here you see, "For in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In our bodies, dear ones. So you have two systems here side by side. You have the cardiovascular system and the lymphatic system. Here you have what meets type and anti-type. Here is the system on the cardiovascular system, how Christ through his blood and the power of the Holy Spirit was able to cleanse us and feed us, because through the blood we are being fed, and also through the oxygen working with the blood, that's how the blood is actually helping to purify the body, take it back to the lungs, and there is the process of sanctification, just like the Old Testament sacrifice by work through the ordinance. But now we are coming into a new covenant, and this is with power, and this is through the power of the Holy Spirit, imputing Christ's righteousness in us. So antitype is the system of righteousness by faith, Christ's merit alone. By work, nothing can be done. That was a type of what Christ was going to do, which he's the only one that can truly sanctify us, body, spirit, and mind. So what is basically the symbol of the lymphatic system? The lymphatic system works as our defenders. So the limbs are the martyrs in our bodies, the defenders of the living truth of God's word. So these are martyrs. The lymphatic system is all over our bodies, especially in the areas that we have organs that are very vital. We are also in the body of believers spiritually, God also have his martyrs. So our ministering angels and saints are defenders of the body. Here we have the angels are responsible as they move to be able to give the message from our brain. The neurons move in that same lightning power. And who are the defenders? All of the pioneers and all the judges and all that the Lord has sent forth to be able to give us the message coming down the line in Christ's kingdom. For references, you see Revelation 2 verse 9 to 11 that talks a little bit of the martyrs, and Judges 5:14, it tells us a little bit about the defenders and how did they did the defending through penmanship with all of the message that was given to them and handed down to us for us to be able to be in such a time as this. And then the angels, the third angel's message here in our bodies, we can see that what we have learned spiritually, we also have physically. The actual B cells and the T cells, they actually look exactly how in this spiritual angels are the messengers that helps that whenever a foreign object comes into our body, it attaches itself to it. Do you know that the actual B cell looked exactly like an angel? Here you have a picture under the microscope. And the T cell that attach themselves also, they look like pillars. So these are godly people as pillars connected by the silver chapter. You will see a reference in Exodus 38:17-18 and Revelation 3:2-12. I am not going to go into the details because, praise God, you can always go back. But for the sake of time, I must continue. Him that overcome will make a pillar. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which come down out of the heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So the muscular system, it talks about the offices of the priesthood and the judges. Why judges? Because in the muscle, we have an area called tendons. And the tendons are responsible to tell the muscle how long and how short, how strong and how light should they hold to be able to contract and extend. So they work hand in hand. They are the voluntary and the involuntary muscle. Some muscle we can be able to move by a conscious, but some muscle we don't have no idea while they're moving. Like the muscles that are, they call, you got the cardio muscle, and then you have the skeleton muscle cells and the smooth muscle cells. So we have three types of muscle in our entire body. And we also have in the spiritual of the sanctuary message, the high priest, the Levite, and the Levites. You have three types that was used for the purpose of the work that was supposed to be done in the sanctuary. Just a little reference for you to be able to go into detail. Go to the cross and the shadow, section 3, page 69-86, and you will be able to read about how the muscle works similar to the priest. Like we just stated, the judges of Israel represent the tendon in our body. The tendons are connected tissue that binds muscle to bone. So what binds the muscle to move? It is the living law and the actual living word. So without the law and the word of God, priests will not go according to the dictate of God, but the dictate of their own mind. So, coming down to the endocrine system, which is what the pituitary gland releases, which is the hormones. So, let's go into a little bit of a reference. It says the cranial cavity contains three endocrine glands located in the close approximate to the brain structure. Ability to demand the release of the decline and prohibition of the hormones. Hormone production in the endocrine system can be overrided by the brain's ability to release or restrict hormones. Likewise, the endocrine system has the ability to override the brain's release or denial of the hormones production. So Christ is responsible, as like the pituitary gland being the master gland, to be able to sin in abundance or even restrain. Just the same way that Christ is the one responsible to send out his angels' messages, and he's the one that directed the path of how the message is supposed to be proclaimed, in what manner. In what manner of the latter rain power, or the former rain, or the early rain. So this is a simple but effective form of the body system, checks and balance. Do you ever heard about checks and balance in government? Even our body has a checks and balance. Hallelujah to the Lamb. In achieving appropriate hormonal activity, without this ability, the brain and the endocrine system could easily produce the same hormone for the same location, and the body will be overloaded with hormone production. Likewise, a hormonal excretion, dysfunction, or either system could lead to significant and detrimental denial of basic hormone for one particular body function. So in this particular picture, you can see that this area is the actual organ of the thyroid. And that thyroid is what shields the altar of incense. Isn't that something? The amount of hormones that is around that particular furniture. Because that furniture shows where the prayers of the saint supposed to go before God. The thyroid is also known as a shield. We will discuss a little bit in the next slide for detail. See Psalms 91, 1 through 4 and 11 for reference from the Holy Word. And here, this endocrine system have the pancreas. And the pancreas stand as a type of helpers of the gospel order. A reference from the scripture is Ephesians 4, 12 through 16. So let's discuss a little bit about the thyroid gland. The thyroid gets its name from the Greek word for shield, due to the shape of the relative thyroid cartilage. The thyroid gland controls how quickly the body uses energy, makes proteins, and controls how sensitive the body is to other hormones. Just for references from the Holy Word, Psalms 104:4, Hebrews 1:7, and Genesis 15:1. Who maketh angels spirit, his ministers a flaming fire? As the lips of Christ receive our prayer, God will send help. Just like when he was walking here on the earth, and as he walked, and that woman that had the faith that if she would touch his hem of his garment, she will be whole. What made her whole, according to what the Savior said? Your faith had made you whole. She believed in the one that could sanctify us. So that's the same thing in this thyroid gland. Hormones will be sent to be able to regulate fat from the body. Do you know if you have a thyroid problem? Some people that suffer with thyroid, they have a extreme growth area in their body. It could be in their neck, it could be in their feet, but the whole thing about it is this gland controls fat. Isn't that amazing, dear ones? If we go to God in prayer, if we are tempted, if we fall, we can go boldly to the throne of grace and ask the Lord to be able to help us. And out of His virtue, we are able to overcome. So the Word of God says that, so does anatomy testify that the Word is true, dear ones. For references, Deuteronomy 33:29, 2 Samuel 22:3-36, and Luke 22:43-44. Hormonal output from the thyroid is regulated by the TSH and the TRH. What do they stand for? TSH stands for thyroid stimulating hormone produced by the anterior pituitary gland, which in itself is regulated as a symbol of Christ. What part? Salvation by His glory. The TRH stands for thyrotropic releasing hormones produced by the hypothalamus, that is a type of how Christ and the Holy Spirit work side by side for the sanctification of His people, which in itself it regulates by Christ Jesus through righteousness by His grace. So here you have glory and grace working side by side, but only the only one that can give that, and that is through Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Ghost. The grace of God takes man as they are and work as an educator using every principle on which an all-side education depends. The steady influence of the grace of God trains the soul after Christ's method, and every fierce passion, every defective trait of character is worked upon the molding influence of the Spirit of Christ, until the man has a new motive power and becomes filled with the Holy Spirit of God after the likeness of divine similitude. So the Holy Spirit is the source of all power and works as a living active agent in the new life created in the soul. We can change self. We have to be able to surrender self to God, that God can plead His blood as He taking our debt, that we may take His life. If we hold on to self, we will not have that perfect exchange that we need to have. We give God ourselves. He give us Himself, that we may be able to come into perfection. Without Christ, we could never come into perfection. So therefore, brethren, as the Word of God says, and as the anatomy dictates, if we don't surrender self, we will be committing suicide. This quote was taken from Helpful Living, page 300, paragraph 5, and also page 301, paragraph 1. So how do we see these things to be true? In the urinary system, we see something so remarkable. Here we have one of the largest in the lower part of the courtyard. We have the liver. The liver, we already know, it is the heart in the courtyard. Only the perfect life of our Savior Jesus Christ can remove from us our impurities and create a new man in us. As a reference, see Ephesians 2:13 and Galatians 3:29. Here, we realize that the actual kidney, the right kidney, is in direct contact with that organ for sanctification. But you know what is so beautiful too? The 10th rib, that is a symbol of the ending of the 10th commandment, is in direct contact with the kidney that actually was pierced, and also the actual heart of the gland in the courtyard that helped in sanctification. So through the sacrifice of redemption, He, Jesus, was therefore strong to execute justice upon them that despise God's mercy. The kidney are also going to regulate the volume of blood. Another huge function is to get rid of the toxin, the normal metabolic waste, excess water, and ions from the body. Do you remember that in the previous study our dear brother shared with us that Christ not only came to cleanse us and sanctify us and redeem us, but we all have belief, traditions, we have teachings, we have false conception and misinterpretation of the scripture, that by the pure life, word, and blood of Christ, he has to remove that also. If we hold on to those things, it becomes the stumbling block to make us go in higher. Because the Lord is not going to place anything in a full cup. We need to be able to empty the cup that we may be able to be filled in Christ. I used to be a former Catholic, not by choice. It was basically by birth, for they baptized children before we even have the opportunity to choose Jesus. Therefore, I was plagued with tradition, false belief, and culture, whatever you want to call it. But praise God that by the word of God, as you study to show yourself approved unto God, you begin to shed errors, false doctrine, whatever circumstances, and I thank Jesus personally, openly before all of y'all. Praise God for the living word, that we can truly find salvation. No matter how deep it's rooted in us, it can be uprooted by the one that had created us. So the kidney, there is the Savior's glory. Here in this particular picture, you're going to see that the right kidney is lowered than the actual left kidney. The left kidney is actually very high on the cage area of a chest. But here, you will see it lowered. And it's so interesting because in John chapter 19:34, it says, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. We just found out what is actually the things that is inside that kidney. You see, they have the water, the sanctification, and the ions. But here, it tells you that when he was pierced, what came forth. I just kind of put a picture there so you could have an idea. Behold, the secret of our Savior's hidden power was his blood. So what is the whole purpose of the Lord giving this sanctuary message? He always wanted to dwell in us. But in order for us to be able to understand how awful sin is, which is the only thing that keeping us away from God, he gave us a system to understand how sin must be removed in order for us to be reconciled. Here in the type, the actual sanctuary message, or the tabernacle that was given to Moses, is a type of Christ in figure. Christ came to fulfill it as an anti-type, because he's the only one that can truly remove all sin from us and make us blameless before a holy God. So that's why the old law was not perfect, for they are a shadow of what is was to come, which is the only one that can truly save us from all unrighteousness, even unto perfection, and keep us blameless before the Lord. So here, this particular area, it is Christ exalted, crowned, our people that's supposed to be placed in a perfect square. Finally, at the end, Christ is going to be in the midst of his people, in the heart, enthroned where it's supposed to be. Jesus is our sanctuary. And finally, the law will be in the heart of man. 6,000 years, the Lord had to be able to make man come to the fullest to understand that the whole purpose of the tabernacle was to tabernacle the divine. But the enemy had fought us so much to believe that we need to be able to have an actual physical place to put God. But Paul had actually told us, how can you make a place for God when heaven is his crown and his earth is his footstool? What he was trying to be able to show us through the sanctuary message is the sinfulness of sin, that we may be able to take it to where it's supposed to be and to give us a direction of what to do with the flesh. take the walk that Christ has given us. Walk to Calvary, crucify the flesh, that we may be able to live again, but in Christ Jesus, not in ourselves. So there is a third temple. The Bible reveals that there are not only these two different sanctuaries, the heavenly temple or the dwelling place of the Most High where Christ intercedes in our behalf, and the earthly temple, which is the typical service designed to teach mankind the great spiritual truth on the plan of redemption from sin. But there is also a third temple, which is extremely important to understand. This is the temple of the human body, where God's Spirit desires to rule and reign. This is the new covenant experience which God was referring to through Jeremiah and Paul. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their heart, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Hebrews 8:10 and Jeremiah 31:33. What a thought. God desires to have you to be his temple in which he can dwell and rule. Yes, friends, both the Father and Jesus Christ love you so much that they do not want to remain trillions of miles away from you in heaven, but desire to dwell directly with you through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. This is indeed a mystery, but one in which is rich and glorious. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present it perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Also, there's a reference from Colossians 1:26-29. But the big question you must ask yourself is, do I love God enough that I am willing to clean up my life and act in such a way that the Godhead can dwell and live and rule in me as their holy sanctuary and dwelling place on this earth? What immense blessing can be ours if we would just offer our life to God and allow him to reign in and through us? Or are you going to decide to continue to live in wickedness and sin, continue to defile your body temple by intemperance habit, reject God's gorgeous and merciful offer, and allow the devil to make you his synagogue and dwelling place to live and rule in this earth? If it is either one or the other, for you cannot serve both. References, Matthew 6:24. Which will you choose, dear one? But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house dwelling place are we, if we hold fast the confident and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Hebrews 3:6-8 and 12. Closing and last paragraph. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part has that he that believes, with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Or ye are the temples of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. References 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18 and 7, 1. God's sanctuary and dwelling place, you can find that in the link that will be mentioned, http://www.lightministry.com/ID178. And may you all have a blessed rest of the Sabbath, and hope and pray that you all was blessed doing this series. So we have come to the end of our series, The Sanctuary of the Body, the Third Temple, that operates and functions like the 12 tribe of Israel, a symbol of the body of Christ, our anti-type. Continue in your personal study of the names and character of the 12 tribes found in The Cross and the Shadow by Stephen Nelson Haskell, page 287-378, that deals with the 144,000. God bless everyone, and may you pray for me as I will pray for you, for there is hard time that is coming ahead. But remember, Satan is a conquered foe, and we have a mighty helper. It is the Godhead of the universe, and we must surrender all our will to him, that he may be able to make us victorious in such a time as this. God bless everyone, and may the Lord bless you.
Well, thank you, dear Sister Rose, and praise the Lord for taking the time to reveal to us what God has shared with you and the spiritual insights into why he created our bodies the way that he has, to be a type of sanctuary for him. So praise the Lord, dear sister, and again, thank you. Our closing song for today's service is entitled, Your Grace Still Amazes Me. And the lyrics are now in the room. So, Your Grace Still Amazes Me.
Praise the Lord. My faithful Father, enduring friend, your tender mercies like a river with no end. It overwhelms me, covers my sin. Each time I come into your presence, I stand and wonder once again. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery each day. I fall on my cause your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me. Oh, patient Savior, you make me whole. You are the author and the healer of my soul. What can I give you? Lord, what can I say? I know there's no way to repay you, only to offer you my praise. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me. It's deeper, it's wider, it's stronger, it's higher than anything my heart can see. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me.
Amen, and praise the Lord, and thank you, dear sister. I invite you to please kneel and bow your heads for closing prayer. Our dear precious and beloved Heavenly Father, indeed, Lord, your grace amazes us, for not a single one of us should be here. We should all have suffered your wrath. This whole world should have been destroyed. But yet, because of your love for us, we're still here. We still have the precious privilege to be saved from destruction. Well, thank you so very much for your love, for your grace, your unmerited favor for each one of us. And please, Father, let your love remove all pride and self-sufficiency from us. Let our hearts indeed become broken. Let our hardness become softened. Let us indeed become broken and contrite in spirit, that we might truly be able to live, to experience true, lasting joy and happiness by connecting ourselves with Thee through our Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that you will be with each one of us. Continue to lead and guide us. Continue to work within us to do your will, to root out self, and to allow Jesus to have full and complete control. And thank you so much for making our salvation possible. Continue to speed and spread Thy truth around the world. And thank you that we are one day closer to getting off of this wicked place, to be able to dwell with Thee for eternity. Thank you that you're in control of all things and there's nothing we need to be afraid of or fearful about, but just to rest in thy love, to perform your will, and praise your holy name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, loved ones, are there any other thoughts, any questions that you might have for Sister Rose, any comments that you want to bring forth, or any songs that you'd like to sing in this after-church service that we are now entering into? Please feel free to do so at this. I know one thing that struck me again, hearing it the second time, is that as the ribs are connected with the sternum, and the 10 ribs represented the 10 commandments, and the 2 floating ribs represented the 2 great commandments, to love the Lord thy God and to love the neighbor as yourself. As you raise your arms up and you bring your clavicles straight out, Sister Rose brought out that that represents the Savior on the cross. So as you raise your arms, then that in effect raises the ribs, and thus it shows that Christ, when he died on the cross with his arms stretched out, was fulfilling the keeping of God's law. He was exalting that law for all to see. And that again struck me as very, very significant, especially in these last days. So praise God. I mean, it still amazes me how our bodies are created in such a way to represent these spiritual truths and to truly give us the impetus, if you will, to want to cleanse our bodies from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, that we might indeed perfect holiness in the fear of God and make our bodies his temple, to prepare ourselves to be a dwelling place of the Most High. It's just, and I'll go ahead and sing Psalms 139:14 once again on this very topic. I will praise thee, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I will praise thee, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Psalms 139:14. Well, dear ones, I want to thank you for coming and fellowshipping with us on this beautiful Sabbath day. I pray that God will continue to work in your lives, to continue to lead and guide you upward, to continue to work in co-partnership with thee, with yourselves, in purifying the flesh and the spirit and making you a fit place for the Holy Godhead to dwell in. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song, Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:1-2. So happy Sabbath, dear ones, and may God bless. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you again soon.
Amen. And I would like to close with a song, Wonderful Merciful Savior. Wonderful Merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and Friend. Who'd have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we hopelessly lost our way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, hearts always hunger for. Almighty Infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, hearing our weakness you find us falling before your throne. Oh, we falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Amen.